Hello, this is Dee, reading the Vermilion County News for March 8th. We'll begin our reading today with the front page article entitled "Mayor Provides Demo Program Overview" by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. Thursday night provided aldermen a more detailed update on the city's demolitions of dilapidated structures from 2016 and into the upcoming years. Information was provided by Program Compliance Coordinator Tracy Kraft and Geographic Information System Coordinator, IT Support Specialist Adam All, regarding demolitions during the past 5 years, residential and main corridor demolitions slated for this year, as well as where demolitions should stand by the end of 2021. The projections for this year are not complete, as the city has other structures, such as the former Pizza Hut, which has long needed to be demolished on North Vermilion Street near Applebee's, the collapsing dry cleaners between Hazel and Washington Streets, the old church to the west of Leek and Sons Funeral Home, the old Paxton Warehouse on the city's east side, and a number of others on the city's radar, according to Williams. Completed demolitions 2016 to 2020. In the past 5 years, the city has demolished 355 structures. There's a breakdown by ward, and there's a map showing the demolitions. 108, or 30.4%, were in Ward 1. 96, or approximately 27%, were in Ward 2. 61, or approximately 17.2%, were in Ward 3. 53, or approximately 14.9%, were in Ward 4. 28, or approximately 7.9%, were in Ward 5. 3, or approximately 0.8%, were in Ward 6. And 6, or approximately 1.7%, were in Ward 7. Demolitions slated for 2021, all are subject to change. This is what the city's current demolition schedule looks like, if all goes well, for the rest of fiscal year 2020 and the beginning of fiscal year 2021. The list is not comprehensive and does not include major commercial structures. The top of each section includes funding source, who will demo the project, and occasionally a description, tentative demolition start date, and or status report. Of the 46 structures on this list, 18, or approximately 39.1%, are in Ward 1. 6, or approximately 13%, are in Ward 2. 13, or approximately 28.3%, are in Ward 3. 7, or approximately 15.2%, are in Ward 4. 1, or approximately 2.2%, are in Ward 5. 0, are in Ward 8. 1, or approximately 2.2%, are in Ward 7. Community Development Block Grant FY20 City Crew. Maybe additional demos if funds remain after these are complete. 201 Tennessee in progress, then moving down the list. 14 Tennessee, 16 Tennessee. Community Reinvestment 310 Fund City Crew. 916 North Vermilion. Will add to property at northwest corner of Vermilion and Fairchild Streets, awaiting tree removal. 513 Harmon, William Street Realignment Project. 205 East 3rd, burnout with signal consent, signed consent. 513 West Madison, burnout awaiting signed consent. 310 Fund, contractor. 205 and 209 West Seminary, starting within the next week. 1118 Sherman, starting within the next week. 1439 Golf Terrace, in progress. Private funds, CDBG, and 310 funds, contractor, Fairchild Corridor Project. 816 and 820 Franklin, 204 and 207 West Fairchild. 901, 903, and 909 Oak Strong Communities Program Grant, city-owned, city crew contractor. Start around June of 2021. 8 North State, 10 Davis, 15 and 22 South Griffin, 109 Pennsylvania, 228 Kentucky, 416 North Griffin, 611 and 833 Jewell, 805 Bryan, 1019 East Williams, 1003 and 1005 Glenwood, 1206 Wabash, 42 Warrington, 235 South Griffin, 1504 Cleveland. Abandoned Residential Property Municipality Relief Program, APP, grant, if not received, 310 fund, Vermilion County Trustee owned, city and or contractor. 26 Minnesota, 123 Ohio, 6 Cronkite, 16 Delaware, 21 North Alexander, 18 Corrine, 514 Martin, 912 East Fairchild, 410 Sherman, 803 Harmon, 401 Cunningham. Future demolitions post-2021. After exhausting this list, there will be approximately 35 more city-owned houses left to demolish that are not on a list already. We hope to demolish these with 2021 CDBG monies. This does not include the hundreds of privately held residential and dozens of commercial structures that will still need to be demolished, according to Williams. Our next front page article is entitled Grateful for Normalcy, More Returning to Schools, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. A recent show of students' hands in one fifth grade class at Southview Upper Elementary School in Danville showed how excited they are to be back in school. Southview will already be on its third week for in-person school next week for about 270 students, a third of the school's 670 fifth and sixth grade students. More are expected to join in April, in the fourth quarter, with almost 40 already signed up to be added. Classroom adjustments will be made as needed and allowed by restrictions. About a third of students also are to start back at North Ridge Middle School next week, and more will follow this month at Danville High School. Southview's principal, Lindsay Prunkard, commended the students, teachers, and staff in going with the flow. She said plans can change hourly regarding school operations with COVID-19 restrictions. One bus at a time brings and picks up students between two doors, while students who are dropped off, picked up by parents or guardians, are at another door. The students can have breakfast in the mornings at the start of their 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. school day. Signs are on the front doors stating the school's mask and social distancing requirements. Decal stickers are on the floor in the school's hallways denoting one-way walking and 6 feet social distancing. Students' desks are spaced out in classrooms and the cafeteria, where some of the students who eat there, instead of in their classrooms, have a designated space to sit and eat. Hand sanitizer also is in view. It is truly an unprecedented time, Prunkard said, adding that they are making it work for their students. I have one of the best staff. It's all hands on deck. It's the best we can do with the restrictions we're given, she said about keeping everyone safe. Other classroom changes include teachers and students are wearing headsets for classes to also interact with students at home. Students do not change rooms as usual for different classes. they still go to PE and specialty classes such as band. And students are not using their lockers, but have bins in the classroom for items. Students, including those who'd never been inside the school, were given a tour when they returned to learn about the social distancing changes. Some teachers also had never seen some of their students' faces before they started back to school due to students not turning on their computer cameras at home. The students still would interact at home, such as through computer chats. Prunkard said with students back in school, they can interact with their peers again, in and between classes, before and after school. They can also raise their hands and ask questions of their teachers in person and work in small groups. She said about the first week back, it went extremely smooth. Kids are resilient. The teachers, kitchen staff, and others all pitched in. She said, adding that students also help clean and sanitize their desks. The in-person students are in groups on an A-B schedule, meaning they go in person 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, or Wednesdays and Fridays. Mondays are synchronous days of teacher instruction at home. Prunkard said the schedule offers more space to serve more students. Special education students attend school in person 5 days a week, and students in learning pods go 4 days a week. There are no more than 14 students in a classroom based on classroom size. Prunkard said the Danville School District looked at some other bigger schools' models on how they operated. Danville school officials felt this model and providing headsets to reach the 2 out of 3 students still at home worked best for interaction. In teacher Emily Carson's 5th grade class this week, with 9 students for English Language Arts and Social Studies, students in the classroom participated in a Simon Says type game about states. They got out of their seats on a break. When it was time for the students to change classes, they stayed in the room for their next class. They put on their headphones and started listening to a different teacher through their Chromebook laptop computers. Carson also put her headset on and started talking to a different group of students via her computer. Several students said they don't get distracted because of their headphones. Student Frankie Resendez said he likes being in school more than being at home learning. "I'm more focused here," Resendez said, adding that he's more focused seeing teachers in person and being in the classroom setting. "He's turned in his homework more," he said. "It's helped you," Carson said to Resendez of his grades. Carson, too, said she missed the more personal interaction with students when they weren't in school. She pointed out several of the students who she hadn't seen their faces until a couple weeks ago. Carson said she sometimes has to remind the students to keep their masks over their nose and mouth, but otherwise the students are doing great with the virus restrictions. Student Alani Elliott, who keeps her computer camera off at home, also said she likes being in school better. Virtual parent-teacher conferences will be later this month, prior to spring break. Extracurricular activities, having included STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, Mathematics, Club, and Cross Country. Prunkard said, "It's all new experiences, but we're just excited to be here." Our next front page article is a staff report entitled, "County Records 3 More COVID-19 Deaths." 3 more Vermilion County COVID-19 deaths have raised the local death toll since the pandemic began a year ago to 106. Health officials announced the deaths Wednesday evening. The victims were a woman in her 90s, a woman in her 80s, and a man in his 50s. The health department also announced 26 new COVID-19 cases, 4 residents in their 90s, 4 in their 80s, 2 in their 70s, 5 in their 60s, 5 in their 50s, 4 in their 20s, and 2 grade school-aged children. That brings the total cases since the pandemic began to 8,499, 271 of which are active. There are currently 9 Vermilion County residents with COVID-19 hospitalized. The health department reported its clinic on Thursday at the Fisher Theater in downtown Danville vaccinated 640 people. The state reports that 15,205 vaccine doses have been administered to Vermilion County residents and that 4,348 residents have been fully vaccinated against COVID-19. There were delays on Thursday for those seeking vaccinations at the Fisher Theater that created tension and complaints from people at the clinic site. Doug Toole, Vermilion County Public Health Administrator, said the line outside the theater that developed was due to more people arriving than expected at a specific time. "We may have slightly overbooked a little bit," Toole said. Normally, Toole said the clinic gets about 30 people vaccinated every 15 minutes. At about 10:30 a.m. Thursday, however, there were a lot more people in line than usual. He said officials thought the smart thing to do was to have people wait outside longer, since they had masks and could social distance. Toole said it's important in the future for people to not show up too early for their appointments. The state mobile COVID testing team tested 9 people on Wednesday at its mobile testing unit. And now we'll move on to another staff report entitled "Danville Man Found Guilty of Murder in Gang Shooting." A Danville man has been found guilty of first-degree murder in the 2018 shooting death of 23-year-old Albert Gardner outside the Untouchables Motorcycle Club. A Vermilion County jury on Thursday delivered the verdict on Deontay Bright, 21. A sentence will be handed down at a later date. Circuit Judge Nancy Fahey set Bright's post-trial motions for April 22nd. Bright was accused of shooting and killing Gardner at around 2 a.m. on June 16, 2018, at the motorcycle club in Danville. Another man, Taji S. McGill, 17, of Danville, also died in the shooting incident. Gardner was charged in connection with McGill's death as well, but he was found not guilty of those charges. The case was prosecuted by the Illinois Attorney General's Office in cooperation with Vermilion County State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey's office. In a statement late Thursday, Attorney General Kwame Raoul said that after the shooting, Bright fled the state in an attempt to escape capture. As with this case, collaborations between federal, state, county, and local law enforcement are critical to ensuring that individuals who perpetrate violent crimes are convicted, particularly when they go to extreme lengths to avoid capture. Raoul stated, "I look forward to continuing those partnerships to protect communities from gun violence." Bright was captured in Indiana by officers with the Indianapolis Police and U.S. Marshals in January of 2019. Lacey thanked the Attorney General and his staff for their assistance in the prosecution. Today's jury verdict of guilty against Deontay Bright clearly demonstrates that the good people of our community simply will not tolerate violent gang shootings, Lacey said. Lacey said the continued partnership between her office and the Attorney General's office in the ongoing battle against violent crime truly is an asset to Vermilion County. Assistant Attorney General Mike Falagario and Haley Buchhout handled the case for Raoul's Criminal Prosecutions and Trials Assistance Bureau. Now we have another staff report entitled "DAC Offers Literacy Tutoring for Adults." Danville, did you know that 1 in every 5 adults has difficulty reading the newspaper, the instructions on a medicine bottle, or a note from their child's teacher? There are more than 20 million adults in the United States, hundreds locally, who share this problem. Literacy tutors are needed to assist these adults in improving their reading skills. the Reader's Route, a literacy program offered by the Adult Education Division of Danville Area Community College, pairs volunteer literacy tutors with adults aged 17 years or older who read below the ninth grade level. The project is made possible by a grant awarded by the Illinois State Library, a division of the Office of Secretary of State, using funds designated for literacy. The DAC Reader's Route provides tutoring for adults who struggle with basic reading, writing, math, and English speaking skills. Adult learners complete a TABE assessment and then are matched with trained tutors who meet with them for 1 to 2 hours each week. Meetings take place on the DAC campus at a previously arranged time that is convenient for both student and tutor. Literacy tutoring benefits everyone. Learners gain renewed self-esteem that can lead to stronger families and better jobs, while the community gains a stronger workforce and overall enrichment. To take the first step in changing your life and your future, please call Paulina Padgen, DAC Literacy Coordinator, at 217-443-8899. That's 217-443-8899, or email ppadjen at dac.edu. That's ppadjen at dacc.edu. And we'll now turn to obituaries. The first is for Mark Edward Leet, 60, of Westville, died March 4th at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center. Visitation will be from 3 to 5 p.m. Saturday, March 13th at the Regal Center, 400 Lyons Road, Westville. Funeral services will be private. Memorial donations may be made to the Vermilion County Animal Shelter. Maggio Blessend, age 88, of Danville, went to be with the Lord at 2:45 a.m. on Saturday, December 19th. Friends will be received on Saturday, March 13th at Cornerstone Church, 1607 Greenwood Cemetery Road, Danville, from 10 a.m. Central Time until Memorial Service Time at 11 a.m., with Pastor Kevin Cox officiating. Inurement will be at the Danville National Cemetery at a later date. Memorial contributions may be made to the Cornerstone Church. Stephen Lane, 66, passed away on Tuesday, March 2nd at Accolade Healthcare in Danville. A visitation was held Monday, March 8th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Officiating was Pastor James Blue. A graveside service followed the visitation at Oak Hill Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made in Stephen's name to the Fairview Sportsman Club. James H. Black, Jim, 92, of Georgetown, passed away at 6:32 a.m. Wednesday, March 3rd at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. A celebration of Jim's life will be held at 2 p.m. Tuesday, March 9th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown. 200 East West Street, Georgetown, with Pastor Aaron Rode officiating. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to his service at the funeral home. It is requested that face masks be worn and social distancing is practiced by those in attendance of the visitation and or service. He will be laid to rest in Georgetown Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the American Cancer Society or any charity of the donor's choice. Alfred Donald Setzer, 84, of Palm Harbor, Florida, passed away February 20th, 2021. A memorial service will be held at a later date in Florida. And now we'll go back to our regular reading with a staff report. entitled Conservation District Opens Camp Registration, Danville. The Vermilion County Conservation District has opened registrations for the 2021 summer camp programs at Forest Glen and Kennecott County Parks. Experienced VCCD camp counselors offer a variety of one-day programs to children ages 3 to 13, focusing on quality outdoor nature experiences. Fee and pre-registration required are for all camps. Due to COVID-19 pandemic, safety guidelines and limited camp sizes will be implemented to protect your child and our staff. The COVID-19 guidelines for our summer camps can be found on our website at https://vccd.org/summer-programs. All parents and guardians must agree to and have their children follow these guidelines during all our in-person programs. A parent or guardian will also be asked to sign a waiver regarding COVID-19 policies and return to the office prior to the camp. Ages 3 to 5 years, toddling into nature, 10 to 11 a.m. or 2 to 3 p.m. at Kennecook. Brown bat, what do you see? June 22nd or 23rd, investigating for wildlife, June 29th or June 30th. Songs, activities, and a craft introduces young children to nature with a parent or guardian. Grades K through 2nd, Nature Connect, Kennecook, June 17th, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m., explore nature and how it all works together. Hike a trail and complete a craft. Grades K through 5th, Young Explorers, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Forest Glen, July 8th, Kennecook, July 14th. Classic fun-filled day in the outdoors, hiking, hayride, nature arts and crafts, hot dog roast, and more. Grades 1st through 3rd in Pioneer Kids Forest Glen, July 27th, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Experience 1850s life as a pioneer kid at the homestead cabin. You'll hike, try candle dipping, and make a sweet treat. Grades 3rd through 5th, Kids Cooking Class at Forest Glen, July 20th or 22nd, 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Mini chefs for the morning will learn the art of pizza making with fresh garden herbs you choose from the garden. Your very own pizza for lunch, we supply homemade ice cream. Grades 4th through 6th, Creek Stomping Ecology Camp at Forest Glen, August 10th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. An exciting day of water adventure and exploring with naturalists investigating aquatic life and the surrounding forest habitat. Prepare to get wet and enjoy your hayride back to base camp. Grades 4th through 7th, Paddle Line Around Camp Mingo, Kennecook, August 3rd, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. No experience necessary. Kayaking basics will be covered. You'll explore Lake Mingo with district naturalists as your guides, pointing out wildlife and plant life that call the lake home. Camp size is limited, so don't delay. Detailed program information, fees, and registration forms are available online at www.vccd.org. Forms also available at the Kennecook and Forest Glen Visitor Centers. Call 217-442-1691, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. for more information. Again, that's 217-442-1691, Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. This has been Dee reading the Vermilion County News for March 8th. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.